There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Bring it fast. Bring it to the back. Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, now joining us is Catherine from ESPN FC talking to us about all things Middlesbrough, but specifically one thing Middlesbrough, which is the sacking of Aitor Kourenka. I just want to check first. We've been fooled by this before. Has he actually gone this time?
Yeah, I think this time it's for real, unfortunately. Quite a sad day for me yesterday, personally, as I know things haven't been great for the club recently, haven't been getting the results, and fans have been quite unhappy, but it's very easy to forget what's happened in the last 3 years since Kourenka came in. So when we first recruited him, Middlesbrough were actually almost about to drop into League One. So he managed to turn it around pretty quickly. And within his first full season, we reached Wembley for the playoff final. And then with his second full season, we got promoted. So in that sense, you can't argue with what he's done for us, and he leaves behind some really good statistics, at least defensively. So Middlesbrough have lost 5 games at home in the last 2 seasons, which is pretty damn impressive. Obviously, there's much up for debate about our attacking force, but that's ultimately what's left us in the position we're in the table now. Second from bottom, looking in big trouble, and that's why the chairman, Steve Gibson, and Kourenka himself have sat down and had a man-to-man chat and decided to part ways.
Yeah, he obviously has done very well over the past few years, as you mentioned, and the statistics definitely back up what you're saying about the defense and attack. Middlesbrough currently, as we record this, still have a top 5 defense in the Premier League, but do have the worst attack in this league. And as you mentioned before we started recording, it's actually the worst in the top 4 levels. Why is that disparity so stark? Is it just talent level at those two parts of the pitch, or is it a focus intentionally on the defense?
I'm sure it's to do with his focus on the defense and how important that is to him as a former Spanish international defender, and obviously someone who learned his skills under Jose Mourinho. So you can see where he gets that kind of grounding from. And to be fair, it did work really well for us in the Championship, and it ultimately got us promoted, that style of play. But leading one up front with, 90% of the time, Alvaro Negredo, who, he's an all right player. Not necessarily someone who's going to score you loads of goals week in, week out. And one of the things that's caused the most kind of confusion among the Borough fans, and I guess it's been humorous for fans of other clubs, is the fact that we have had proven strikers on our books, such as Jordan Rhodes, David Nugent. And when they've been brought in, Kourenka's almost point blank refused to play them, or, brought them on for 10 minutes and kind of said, well, they've had their chance, that's it. So that was one of the odd things that's gone on during his time at Middlesbrough, which was, it seemed that he had very little involvement in many of the transfers and the players that came into the club. So it feels like the chairman was quite involved in who was brought in, and Aitor seemed quite reticent to play a lot of them. Obviously, the two exceptions to that are Victor Valdez and Alvaro Negredo, who feature most of the time. Obviously, older players who kind of might be past their best, but I think Valdez has been an outstanding player for us this year, really. Has kept us in a lot more games than we would have been in otherwise. Negredo, not so much, but I think actually our midfield is probably the weakest area in the team, and that lack of supply that lack of willingness to attack, because Karanka's so defensive-minded, just leaves us that bit short up front.
Yeah, and some of the transfers that you mentioned that he may have not had a hand in as much as he would have liked haven't really panned out. Victor Fisher, who I loved that signing of yours in the summer, hasn't really worked out. Adama shows flashes, but it very rarely comes to an end product. Rudy Gasset, you signed in January and is yet to really make an impact, although I think I've seen him head two balls off crossbars. How much do you put down some of these struggles to some failures in the transfer market?
Yeah, I think it is largely down to that. And it does seem to be an unusual way to operate, in that players are signed and then the manager has to deal with the players that are brought in and essentially sold as well. And he has to set his team up around that when those players might not actually fit the system that he has. Does seem quite unusual. And definitely January, the transfer window was highly disappointing for Middlesbrough. So people were starting to worry, certainly after Christmas, about the lack of goals and the lack of points we were getting. So I know we have this fabled, brilliant defence, but since Christmas, really, even that's been slipping, and we've been losing and conceding more and more goals. So the fact that the players that came in were Rudy Gasset, who is, I think, officially the player who has won the least games or something. He has this really weird title against him, I think from when he played for Villa a few years ago. And Patrick Bamford, who played for us before, but, you know, ultimately they're unproven in the Premier League and have kind of done okay in the Championship. It's not really what you want to see when you're faced with relegation. You want to see somebody brought in who you think this guy could make a real difference. And we just didn't see that. So that's contributed to increased tension with the fans, maybe getting on the backs of players as well. And then the results have just continued to slide since then.
So if we're admitting just that the players have not lived up to it well enough, is it really on them, the sacking of Karanka, or is there something that he did over time that you think just started not working? Or was it kind of like Leicester, where at a certain point, sometimes locker rooms just kind of tune out and just need a new voice in their ear?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. There are certainly some players who are rumoured to sort of be the voice of discontent more than others. Stuart Downing is a particular player who took quite a pay cut, apparently, to come back to Middlesbrough, which is, you know, his boyhood club. And again, probably not a Karanka signing, I would say. Karanka plays him occasionally, even though he's probably the most experienced player we have in terms of top flight football. So Downing's been quite frustrated, and that's where it seems a lot of the discontent has come from. But even Jose Mourinho was asked in his press conference today about Karanka and what's gone on. And Mourinho said, yes, I know the players who haven't been pulling their weight. But it feels like the rot has been setting in for a long time now. Felt like something needed to change. I was at the Stoke game a couple of weeks ago and it was pretty depressing. There were a few people in the crowd who kind of turned against Karanka at that point. Most people were still supporting the players and supporting the club as a whole. But I really didn't think that they would sack him now, actually. I thought it would have happened maybe a month ago. Now seems like they've held on until the very last minute. Steve Gibson, the chairman, is known to be such a loyal person and likes to stick with his decisions. And that's why Middlesbrough don't really have a new manager every 6 months like some clubs do. But I feel like he's given as long as he can to Karanka and now really feels like change needs to happen very quickly.
And in terms of that change, is there a name that's currently kind of leading the line in terms of who your next manager could be, or might you stay more internal like we've seen at Leicester of late?
Well, the chairman has come out and said that the current caretaker, Steve Agnew, who was Karanka's assistant, that he is certainly in contention to be number one, and Gibson seems to be a fan and wants to give him a chance. So when we had the sort of temporary Karanka's leaving last year, Agnew did take charge for one game away at Charlton. But, you know, it was a kind of a 24-hour thing. And then before we knew it, Karanka was back and nobody ever spoke of it again until now. But this is definitely for real. So he's had a bit more time to prepare for Sunday's game against Man United. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he does. And if he kind of sticks with the way we've played before, if he completely revolutionises it, who's going to be his starting 11, that's going to be really interesting. I'm not sure if Gibson's expecting a big result from this game. I think what we all want to see really is a better performance. People showing a bit more for the club. And that'll be a really good starting point to take us forward. But as we go on, there are other managers rumoured. So Steve McLaren is an interesting one. Sacked again from Derby. But as we know, he was probably Middlesbrough's most successful manager, I would say. When he was with the club, he took us to Europe and we finished sixth in the Premier League 1 year. And we had, you know, some good glory days back then. Not sure if he would be a very popular choice to return, but he's certainly one of the favourites. And another is Nigel Pearson, obviously formerly of Leicester. And he did used to be the Middlesbrough captain as well back in the 1990s. So I think if he came in, it would be a big change for the club. Especially thinking about all the Spanish and Uruguayan players that we've got that Carranca brought in. I suppose at least Agnew has a relationship with those guys and can sort of work with them currently. But as for the long term, I think we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, and if you do bring in somebody new, would the objective be staying up? Or do you think Middlesbrough as a club are more concerned about kind of the long-term view and health of the club?
I think the chairman is quite savvy and will definitely be looking to the long term. But right now, there's this very big thing on the horizon that you just can't ignore, and that is relegation. So let's throw everything at it. Let's try and avoid relegation. But if it does happen, I know that Middlesbrough will be in pretty good financial shape, and there'll be a good structure at the club to deal with it. So in the past, we've had troubles where, actually in the McLaren era, when we got into Europe and stuff, we had a really big wage bill. A lot of older players, such as Mark Viduka and Yakubu, and it just wasn't really sustainable. So we had to have a bit of a period of austerity when we went down then. But I think that's all really good experience. And this time around, if we did go down, we'd be much better prepared. And I suppose we've got quite a lot of good players on our books for the championship. So, you know, what will be, will be.
Fair enough. What are your expectations as a fan? Are you just kind of hoping to see better football on the whole? Because you mentioned that it's kind of been dire of late.
Yeah, it really has. It would be nice to see a bit more freedom, a bit more ingenuity, creativity, and maybe even a goal, because it has been a long time. It's been 6 weeks in the league now since we saw a Middlesbrough goal. So, you know, just any sort of green shoots of improvement for me would be fantastic. Even if we don't stay up, we can sort of take that forward into next season.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time. Anything you'd like to plug on the way out?
You can follow me on Twitter at BaseLady for more about Middlesbrough.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Best of luck to Borough, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.